Hi, this is Dennis Byrd, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, where we'll learn why it is that only 5% of people who lose weight never gain it back. I'll bring my expertise in life coaching, my advanced studies in psychology, and my own personal story of beating obesity so we can learn new ways of thinking and adopt powerful strategies to lose weight and keep it off for life. Thank you for joining the 5%ers podcast, episode number 14, The Opportunity with Optimism. Last week, we looked at the consequences of pessimism and how that really affected our ability to move forward in our goals. And originally, I thought this was going to be a two-part series, but I've decided to delay one more episode because I feel like we need a little more time. So this is going to be a three-part series, and today is all about the opportunity with optimism. And then the next series will be based on if you're leaning more towards pessimism, how do you transform that thinking? And if you are leaning towards optimism, how do you maintain that optimism and grow that optimism? So let's go back to podcast number 13 and just recap a little bit. First, we looked at pessimism as a way of interpreting life. And this comes from Dr. Martin Seligman's work at the University of Pennsylvania. And pessimism, the way that we interpret life through that lens in three distinct ways: it's personal, it's permanent, and it's pervasive. So it's personal in the sense that we tear out our self-esteem, we blame ourselves, we shame ourselves. It's permanent, and you'll hear that language of pessimism where you hear things like, this always happens to me, I can never make this work. It's that all or nothing thinking. And then it's pervasive. And so we have one area of our life, like our health, we get discouraged about it and we let that permeate into other areas of our life. So the consequences of pessimism is it really lowers our self-esteem. We really take a hit to our sense of self-worth. It blocks our ability to achieve our goals because it slows us down. We tend to give up. We tend to get frustrated and we throw up our hands in the air and just say, you know, I knew I couldn't do this. This isn't working. We give away our personal power and we let things outside of us dictate how we feel about ourselves or that other people have control, whether it's our spouses or partners, whether it's the food system. And we just say, well, we can't do anything about these things. And so we just give our power away and then just give up. And also the consequence of pessimism is we tend to fall into paralyzing perfectionism. And that's where we have to let things be perfect. We always want things to be perfect. And perfectionists either are try-harder perfectionists where they really get frustrated with how they're doing. They keep moving forward and keep trying just with a total waste of their effort, a waste of their energy. Or they're a give-up perfectionist where they just say, you know, if I can't do this correctly, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm going to give up. So in the last episode, we really saw how pessimism can really hold us back, how it really takes a hit on who we are and really doesn't allow us to move forward in our goals. Now, optimism is such a great thing in life if we can develop an optimistic attitude and an optimistic framework. According to Dr. Seligman, optimism is also a way of interpreting life in three distinct ways. First, optimism interprets life in ways that are impersonal. Then it interprets life in ways that are more temporary. And then lastly, it's limited. So let's look at impersonal. So when an optimist encounters a difficulty or a failure, what they'll do is they'll look for things outside of themselves for the explanation. So they'll look for things that were outside of their ability to influence and say, well, this kind of hurt me here. But the biggest thing is that they don't blame themselves and they don't shame themselves. So even if an optimist makes a mistake, they will own it. If it's up to somebody else, they'll let somebody else take the blame or take the responsibility. But they won't own it for somebody else. They'll just own their own mistakes in their own life. And so because of that, you don't see this tearing at the self-esteem. Next, it's temporary. And so the language of optimism is this temporariness. So when you have a hard time in life, it's just a moment in time. And you'll hear optimists say things like, you know, this will get better, or this isn't going to last forever. It's a period of time, and I'm going to get through this, and there are better days ahead. You know, things can improve. And ultimately, today doesn't have to influence what happens tomorrow, because today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. So you hear that really temporary language where, in contrast, pessimism had that permanence, like this always happens to me, this never gets better, versus the temporary, like it's a moment in time, things can get better. It's hard now, but it can get better. And then lastly, it's limited. So one area of life doesn't have to influence the others. And we tend to keep our struggles in one area and located to that particular thing, and we don't let it permeate into other non-related areas of life like pessimism will. So it's, you know, impersonal versus personal. It's temporary versus permanent. And it's limited versus pervasive. And so you'll hear that really more helpful way of interpreting life. So let's play this out in the same situation that we had in last episode, where an optimist is moving forward towards their health goals. They're eating right, they're exercising, they're getting good sleep, they're feeling positive, they're feeling really good. And the event that they're going to be interpreting is just like the pessimist, as they go out to some kind of an event, some kind of a party, and there's all kinds of food there that they're trying to avoid, that they've cut out of their diet, and that they're, you know, really in the sense that, you know, I don't want to be eating these things, but because they're human, they just blow their diet and they overeat. They eat, you know, the things that they wanted to avoid, and they walk out of that, you know, just feeling like they totally blew their plan. So that's the event, and here's how an optimist makes that interpretation. First, it's impersonal. Wow, that was a great event, but I totally overdid it. And, you know, I wasn't planning on doing that, but I gave in, and it was really tempting. There was just so many great things there. So it was a little bit hard to resist, but in one level, I had a lot of fun and it tasted good, but, you know, ultimately, I'm not feeling really good right now because I just totally blew my diet. So you'll hear that impersonal, right? They're not blaming themselves. They're owning up to the fact that they made a mistake, but you don't hear that shaming, blaming type of language. You know, they may say, it frustrates me that I let this event get the best of me, but you know what? I'm human. This happens. It's not the end of the world. And so you'll hear that, you know, more positive way of looking at it. Then they may even say, you know, next time I go to an event, I'm going to be better prepared to create a plan for how I'm going to handle all this different food. You'll hear the temporariness of it. So they'll say things like, wow, you know, out of all the months of success I've had, it's amazing. I've gone months, weeks, and I've done an amazing job at, you know, losing weight and keeping it off. And this is one event of many. And most of these events that I've gone to, I've actually had willpower and I've restrained. And I'm only one meal away from being back on plan. And this one event's not going to hurt me. So you'll hear that very temporary, right? The one event versus all or nothing. I'm only one meal away. So they have that temporariness about, hey, I can get back on plan. And so when an optimist has a mistake, when things don't go well, they have that temporary way of looking at it, that this is a moment in time, it's going to get better, and I can get back on track. And the other things that they do is they put things into that context, where a pessimist takes it out of context. And then lastly, it's just limited. So this doesn't have to say anything about my relationships. It doesn't have to say anything about my career, or my family, or my friends. This is just about the fact that I ate more than I'd planned to. That's all it is. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes you eat more than you than you feel like you're going to. And, you know, I can get back on track. So an optimist will have a failure, have a mistake, and they'll just keep it limited to that particular area of life. In this example, to their diet and to their health. And so you can see the really powerful differences between pessimism and optimism in the way that pessimists and optimists interpret life. Pessimists hold us back. They keep us stuck. They feel discouraged. Optimists, you know, move forward and they put things into context. And the power of optimism is you tend to put your successes before your failures. And that's why I really have found that optimism has helped me is that in the past, like in this example, I would, as a former pessimist, I would go through an event like this, and all I would look at is my failure. All I would look at is how I blew my diet and I ate more than I had planned to. Versus, as an optimist, if I have an event like that, I'll put it into the context of, wow, for the last 6 months, I've just done fabulous with my health. And I had this one event that I overate, but really, like, one event's going to throw me off? Absolutely not. I've got such momentum that I can move forward. And so an optimist will also focus on what they can control. They don't give their power away. And so an optimist will look at this and say, you know, I'm going to be in other situations where there's going to be food there that's tempting, and I'm just going to create, you know, a better plan next time. So the next time I go to this event or go to this conference or go to this party or go into this next holiday, I'm just going to have a better plan about how I attack that. And just because the food is there doesn't mean I have to eat it. Versus a pessimist will say, well, because there's that food there, it's going to tempt me, it's going to draw me in, and I don't have any willpower over it. So optimists tend to keep their power, they don't give it away, where pessimists just let it go. So optimists take ownership of their behavior, they retain their power, and because of that, they tend to regain momentum faster. So if an optimist gets off track in their health goals, they tend just to move forward more quickly. They get up, they brush themselves off, and they just say, I'm one meal away, and so my next meal is going to be golden, and that's what I'm going to do. And because of that, they stay positive, and they stay more motivated. They believe in themselves. Their self-esteem is higher. And that's one of the things that Dr. Martin Seligman really saw, is that because of this optimistic way of interpreting life, people have so much more success in their life goals, regardless of what the success is about. And so they become positive, they stay motivated, they achieve more, and that success just leads to more success. And lastly, what's awesome is that optimists tend to become of encouragement to other people. And they really serve as an example to the people around them about how things can be done. So transforming this type of pessimism in my life and learning to become more optimistic and learning how to reinterpret my life in more optimistic ways was really the key to my long-term success in weight loss and weight maintenance. If you have listened to the other podcasts that I've had, you'll remember that for years, I was battling my weight, and I was going up and down, up and down, and up and down. And with each success, there was a failure. I would go into this pessimistic interpretation. I would get more discouraged, and I would give up for a while. And I would throw up my hands and just say, this isn't working. I'm just going to eat whatever way I want to eat, because obviously I can't do this. And then I would wait till I get too frustrated with my health and my weight and get unhappy with the way I looked, and then I would give it another try, and I would try some new type of diet plan. But with that pessimistic way of interpreting life, it didn't matter what plan I chose. It didn't matter whether I chose Weight Watchers or SlimFast or Atkins or low fat or the Mediterranean diet or Fit for Life or whatever plan I would, you know, utilize at that time, because failure is just a part and imperfection is just a part of this process. And so when I would encounter that imperfection, when I encounter a failure, that pessimistic thinking just held me back. And I'd start hammering at my self-esteem. I'd start thinking that I'm never going to get out of this. And I can remember times just thinking, this is my lot in life. I'm just destined to be overweight. This is it. This is as good as it gets. And then I'd let that hit into my relationships and feel like, wow, no one's going to be attracted to me because I'm overweight. I let it hit my career. And, you know, it just was one of those things where when I was stuck in that pessimistic attitude, continually being frustrated of thinking, on one level, I know I can do better. On one level, knowing I could be a better person. But with that mindset and that way of interpreting life, just holding me back, holding me, in a sense, hostage to failure. And so as I learned to be more optimistic, as I learned to reframe the way I was interpreting life in a more optimistic way that was impersonal, temporary, and limited, the further I got away from the pessimism, the better my health got. And all of a sudden, I started to realize, wow, it wasn't the diets necessarily. I mean, some of the plans were better than others, you know, absolutely. But it was the way that I was approaching it in my thinking. And so my encouragement to you is, if you've had a similar path of losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, and gaining weight, and with each, you know, failure, putting on more and more pounds over the years, I want you to think about, is it the way that I'm thinking? Is it the way that I'm interpreting my situation? Am I leaning more towards pessimism? Am I on that continuum where I'm coming up with pessimistic conclusions about my life? Or am I on more of that optimistic side of the continuum, but I'm not as optimistic as I need to be, and there's still some thoughts that are dogging me and dragging me down? So the whole goal of this series is for us to understand where we are on that continuum. And what I love about Martin Seligman's work is his book is entitled Learned Optimism. So in the past, I used to think, well, this is just the way I am. It's obviously, it's genetic. It's how I'm wired. I'm just wired to be more pessimistic. And that person over there, they're more wired to be optimistic. So they got the better luck of the cards, you know, the better draw of the cards, and I came up short. But Seligman's work is the fact that we develop optimism or pessimism based on learning. And so when we look at how we develop our personalities and develop the way that we interpret life, it happens in the first 6 years of life. And so our view of ourselves, our self-esteem, our view of the world and how the world works, how men are and how they're supposed to be, how women are and how women are supposed to be, and our self-concept and self-ideals, they're all developed in the first 6 years. So pessimism and optimism basically are learned from whoever is the important adults in our life, whether they're our parents, older siblings, grandparents, anybody who has great influence over us in those first 6 years. So let me give you an example of how that might play out. So I'm 5 years old and I'm growing up in a household, and one of my parents is really struggling with their health and their weight. And they're on the next health kick, they're on the next diet and exercise plan, and they start moving forward in their goals, they start having success. And then all of a sudden, they blow their diet. And as a five-year-old, this is what I perceive, and this is what I hear. Gosh, you know, I am so stupid. What's wrong with me? Why is it that I can't figure this out? I'm smarter than this, but I can't figure out how to keep to my plans. And everybody else seems to be able to do this. And there's all these people in the magazines and on TV, and they're always talking about how they lost the weight and they did it, and yet I can't. And I'm going to be fat forever. I'm never getting over this. You know, it's just going to be a continual struggle throughout my life. And I know it's going to affect my relationships. I know it's going to hurt my career. And I'm sure just all of a sudden, you know, just life just isn't going to be good because I'm fat and I'm ugly and I don't like how I look. So I'm 5 years old and I'm growing up in this household, and this is what I hear. This is what I hear that adults say. Now, as a five-year-old, I don't have the mental maturity to think, you know, come on, Dad, come on, Mom. That's crazy. No, I don't have that mental maturity. All I'm thinking internally, subconsciously, is, huh, I guess that's how you interpret life events when you fail or you do something bad. Now, let's say I have a parent or a significant adult in my life, and they're on a health kick again, and they're having a lot of success. They go to an event, they go to a party, it's the holidays, and they blow their diet. And here's the interpretation I hear. Wow, was that ever a great event? But man, did I overeat. You know, I don't feel good. I could have eaten better, and I wasn't really planning on eating that well, but, you know, I just let it get the best of me. And hey, you know, we're all human. It happens. But look, I have had tremendous success over the last 3 months. I've lost 25 pounds. I've got up 5 days a week and I've worked out and I've done amazing. It's the best I've ever done. You know, and this is just one meal out of thousands over the last 3 months. And so I'm just going to get back on plan. I'm only one meal away from being back on track and I can turn this around. And you know what? I really believe that this is just about my diet, my health. It doesn't have to do anything with anything else. It's just about this one opportunity that I missed. So I'm 5 years old growing up in this household. And I think, well, I guess that's how you interpret mistakes or interpret failures or hard times. So according to Seligman, optimism and pessimism are explanatory styles, the way we interpret life, and these styles are learned. And we learn them early in childhood, mostly through observations. And so if you are trending more pessimistic or optimistic, I guarantee you, if you really think about the significant people in your life who were there during your childhood, if you are trending more pessimistic, you will find the pessimists. And you'll see, yep, came through Mom. Well, Mom got it from Grandma or Granddad. Granddad got it probably from this person. You may see it in an older sibling. And what you'll see is it has this track throughout your family tree. It's learned. It's not genetic. And I used to think it was genetic, but really after transforming that pessimistic thinking and way of interpreting life, I've come to that conclusion that you can learn a different way at looking at life. So although we adopted this style and way of interpretation early in life, it doesn't mean we're stuck there. That's the great thing about being human, is that we can, you know, have reflection and we can evaluate and we can look at our lives and see the things that we want to change and slowly start implementing those changes. So the great news is that for those of you that are listening is if you are trending more towards pessimism, there's a way out. You can turn that around and you can be more optimistic. And if you are on the optimistic side of the continuum and you want to maintain that or you want to grow it, there are ways that you can maintain it and grow it for a lifetime as well. So the reason why I wanted to break this up into three podcasts is I felt like, you know, this is such great information and this was such a key to my process that I don't want to shortchange it. So in the next episode, what we're going to cover is how do you transform pessimistic thinking? What are the tools and the strategies that you can take in order to start turning that pessimistic thinking around in that way of interpreting life? And if you're trending more optimistic, how do you maintain that optimism or grow that optimism? Because I guarantee if you have been struggling in your health and struggling with your weight, struggling to maintain it, that one of the key things that you're going to need to do is to evaluate how you're interpreting your situation and what types of thoughts that you're coming up with, and basically how you think basically affects how you feel, how you think affects how you act. And so if you're thinking discouraging thoughts, you feel discouraged and you act like someone who's discouraged. If you're thinking optimistic thoughts, you feel like somebody who's optimistic. You feel more happy and you're not discouraged. And you act like somebody who has control over their life. So how you think hurts or helps you through difficult times. And how you think basically launches you in the direction that you're going. And it either holds you back or it moves you forward. So I encourage you to keep listening to this podcast. And if you need to, go back to the first episode, The Problem with Pessimism, and review that information. Then maybe re-listen to this podcast, The Opportunity with Optimism. And then that'll gear you up for next week's podcast on transforming pessimistic thinking and maintaining optimism for life. Thanks for listening today, and if you found this podcast helpful, let your friends and family know about it. And if you will, go to iTunes and find the 5%ers podcast and leave a review and let other people know how it's been helpful. And if you want to know more about being a 5%er, you can go to my website at dennisbird.org. And remember, folks, when it comes to your health, work hard, do your best, and never give up. Have a great day, everybody.